For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, August the 29th, 1985. First service of the Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook and Howard Pittman are the speakers in this evening's service.
Our Father, we thank you tonight for the Lord Jesus. We bless you and we honor you, Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your power and your virtue and your life. We thank you, Lord God, that Jesus is alive and He's on the throne. We thank you, Lord, that you're causing the people to overcome. We thank you, Lord, that there is an army arising in the earth, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit tonight that's in us, Lord God, and it's going to cause us to overcome, Lord. Lord, without you, we're nothing. We can do nothing, Lord. And tonight, Lord God, we put on the garment of humility. Lord, we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We make not provision for the flesh. And we ask the Holy Spirit tonight to endow us with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We ask the power of the living God to move throughout this people tonight. We pray your anointing, God, to search through them tonight, that you heal, deliver, and set them free, Lord God. Lord, you are the deliverer. You are the healer. Lord God, we bless you and we thank you and we exalt you. And we give you the praise and the glory, Lord. For thou art worthy of it, Lord. Amen and amen. Come on, let's praise the Lord just a minute. Hallelujah. 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 Ilabasora mandele bikira basotara bakandele besida bakanda basia da bakora bahaya. Raparo bosihi karabasandele bikira basota bakata bosia da bahanda besida bakaya. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, amen. Yes, amen. 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 For I've said unto thee that they that would wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And as you wait upon me, know that thy strength shall come, my people. Yea, the Lord God is thy strength. He's thy high tower. Know that in the time of storm thou can run to him. For yea, he is thy safety. So I say, seek not man, but seek the Lord. For the Lord God is your deliverer. The Lord God tonight shall set thee free as you worship and as you adore him. For the Lord God is in thy midst. And know that he shall bring thee forth, yea, in him. And thou shalt be built up in the things of God. And know that thou shalt take on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be changed into his glory. Yea, saith the Lord, from faith to faith. Yea, even from glory to glory and from strength to strength. For I am in thy midst, and I am with thee. So fear not, but believe, and thou shalt see the salvation of thy God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him tonight. Let's praise our God. Let's praise our God tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Fear not. Fear not. Only believe. Yea, the Lord God shall not only touch thy mind, but the Lord shall touch thy body. Yea, the Lord God is your help this night. And the Lord God has come to undergird and to strengthen and to heal thee, saith the Lord. So accept and believe, yea, his healing power is now flowing into thy body, yea, saith the Lord, and thou shalt be healed by the power of the living God. Know that Jesus is thy strength, he is thy portion, and yea, there is no other, so trust and believe that what he said, he'll bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him, amen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, for the Lord shall give thee wisdom. He shall give thee knowledge. Look not behind thee, but look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of thy faith, and the things that have put that have pulled thee down in former days, they shall be no more, for I shall erase them, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise Him tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lift up thy heart and thy hand to thy God, for thy God shall visit thee. There shall be a visitation of the Almighty, for he has not forgotten thee. He does come thy way. He does pass thy way. He does move within thee. He does stir within thee this night. And know that he has put the helmet of salvation upon thy head. And know that the hope of salvation is thine. So say I not in thy heart, Lord, I cannot understand. I cannot overcome this because you can. I am the overcomer in you. Come on, let's praise him. Amen. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lord God. Praise the Lord God. The Lord shall touch thy blood. The Lord shall touch thee anew and afresh in thy bloodstream. Yea, there shall be a new transfusion by the Spirit of God. So trust and believe and know that the Lord has touched thee this night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's praise Him. Amen. Let's praise our God. Let's praise our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. We'll make it. Praise the Lord. Be not fearful nor afraid, but trust thou in the Lord God. For know that the Lord is with thee, my son. Know that that ground that you stand upon is holy. For yea, the Lord would say, take off thy shoes and worship thy Creator, even as Joshua did. And as you do worship him, he'll bring thee into a higher realm. And yea, know that Jesus shall be exalted within thee. And thou shalt see him in a new dimension, for thou hast cried out, and now thou shalt see it and behold it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Fret not, but believe what the Lord has said, for his promises are true. Yea, that which he has said, he'll bring it to pass. Man would say, it cannot happen, it cannot be done. But the Lord says, trust with all your heart, and you'll see it come to pass. For yea, the obstacles that have been set against thee shall be no more. For I, the Lord, shall touch thee and strengthen thee and cause you to overcome. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Look not behind thee, but look thou to the Lord, my son. For surely the Lord God shall do a new work and a strange thing within thee. The Lord God has raised thee up to bring forth deliverance and truth. And know that that truth that I of mine is in thee. And yea, no man shall stay or stop or hinder the work that I've started within thee, my son. For surely the Lord is with thee, he does overshadow thee with his glory and his power. And yea, know that this night the Lord shall do a mighty work within thee. Hallelujah! 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 Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord Jesus! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Yes, the Lord has given thee the helmet. The Lord has given thee the sword of the Spirit. The Lord has given thee the tools, my son. Fret not thyself, neither be afraid. The enemy would bring fear, but I say unto thee that my son shall bring faith. For yea, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So fret not thyself, my son, but know the Lord has heard thy petition, and he shall answer thee quickly, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him. Amen. Praise God. Let's praise our God. Let's praise our God. Let's praise our God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lord God. Praise the Lord God. Praise the Lord God. The Lord has not forgotten thee, my son. Know that the Spirit of God is upon thee and in thee. Know that the Lord shall open thine eyes, and thou shalt see things that thou hast not seen, and thou shalt hear things that thou hast not heard. For yea, I send thee that my Spirit is within thee. Truly thou art growing and maturing in the Lord. And truly there shall be new visitations. There shall be new visions from the Lord. Not only in my word, but by his Spirit. And thou shalt know what I say when it happens. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, let's praise him. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. 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 Thou hast cried out, Lord, can I do this or can I do that? But the Lord has put that ministry within thee. For I've said, open thy mouth, and I will fill it. Yea, I will fill it with praise. I will fill it with my glory. I will fill it with prophecy. And thou shalt speak the word of the Lord. Be not fearful, but open thy mouth and obey thy God, and he'll do the rest. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, let's praise him. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thou art the anointed of the Lord. Thou art his vessel of mercy. Yea, saith the Lord, trust and believe. Yea, for the Lord shall pull back. The Lord shall roll back things of the heavenlies, and thou shalt behold them, and thou shalt ascend. Thou shalt acquire the things of God, for thou hast pursued, and thou hast sought him, and now the Lord shall satisfy thy heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord God. Praise the Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Karabosanda. There is no power, yea, that can destroy thee. There is no power that's greater than me, saith the Lord. For I'm within thee, and that my spirit and my power and my glory is greater than the enemies. So, yea, allow me to stand up within thee. Allow me to speak in and through thee. For my glory is within thee, my love is in you, and I love you dearly. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a good praise offering. Come on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God.
Can you hear me all right? Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Thank God. Turn. I'm going to minister just a few minutes. Turn to Isaiah chapter 4. Hallelujah. How many love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. How many believe that there's a people travailing today? Yes, not everybody, but there is a people travailing and crying out against all the abominations that they see in the earth. And we know that with travail, or if there's travail, there's a pregnancy. And how many know we're either giving seed or receiving seed in the natural? But how many know he's put his seed within you and within me? But if you're in travail, there is a pregnancy within you. You ladies know that in the natural. And that's a result of conception. And from conception is a seed. Jesus said the seed is the Word of God, didn't he? Amen? And how many know that when the seed gets in you, the Word of God gets in you, it's going to bring faith in you. And when faith gets in you, it's going to bring a vision in you. And when you have a vision, you have hope, and hope always leads you to travail. Somebody say amen. Now turn with me in the Scriptures to Isaiah chapter 4. I'm going to cut this short tonight because I had a lot to put on you, but I don't. Better not do that tonight. Isaiah 4, look at verse 1. The Scripture says, "And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man." So let's don't take that in the natural, all right? You got a problem if you do. Now, let me know there's seven churches in the book of Revelation. And so seven here, the seven women speaks of the church world at large. And it said, seven women shall take hold of one man. Now, the man is supposed to be Jesus. But notice what they said. We will eat our own bread. We don't want your bread, Jesus. We don't want your food, Jesus. We don't want your revelation, Jesus. We want our bread. Then they said, we'll wear our own apparel. We'll wear our own righteousness, Lord. We don't want your covering. We want ours. Well, ours is filthy rags, isn't it? Now, verse 1 says, notice, only let us be called by thy name. We want to be a Christian. But we want our bread and our righteousness, our apparel. We want to be a Christian in order that you take away our reproach. Well, if you're going to be a Christian, you will be reproached. Amen? For Jesus' sake. Hallelujah. But there are those who want, they don't want the reproach. They want to be a Christian, but they don't want his food, and they do not want his righteousness. Amen? Verse 2, in that day shall the branch, now he's the vine, we are the branches. Now Jesus said, if you bring forth much fruit, then you're going to be something. You're going to be my disciples indeed. Isn't that right? I mean, know that. Now here he said, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious. Now his branch or his church will be glorious, amen, and full of glory. Can you say amen? And the fruit, look at that, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are You say, what's the escape? Is it flying off? No. The escape is in verse 1. You're not in that crowd. You're not in verse 1. You're not saying, Lord, we want our bread and our apparel. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But the ones that will be beautiful, the ones that will be fruitful, the ones that will escape, will be those who escape verse 1. They won't be in that crowd. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to show you that God is bringing forth fruit. Now, Jesus said to these apostles, I've chosen you, ordained you, that you would go forth and bring forth much fruit. How many know there's fruit? More fruit. Much fruit. 30-fold. 60-fold. Come on. 100-fold. Outer court. Holy place. Holy of holies. Passover. Pentecost. Tabernacle. Amen? I mean, believe that. Good. Now, turn with me to some scriptures. If you will, turn to Isaiah 26. I'm going to go through this quickly. Isaiah 26. And you'll notice in verse 16, he said, Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them, like as a woman with child that draws near the time of her delivery is in pain and cries out in her pain, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have been as it were brought forth wind. Now God doesn't want hot air. God wants a son. This is a false, we would say, man child, or, you know, it's false, isn't it? Amen. Amen. But notice he said here, they said rather, we have brought forth wind, we have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. Now when God raises up his son at the end of this age, which is the army of God, the man-child overcomers, we know there's going to be deliverance in the earth. And that earth is you and me. You know, but it's all around the world. Neither have inhabitants of the world fallen. I mean, know what that seventh trumpet says? The kingdom of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. And how many know that the Christ is head, Jesus, and the body you and I part of? Amen. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, I could go on in that, but I won't. Now, come on down to chapter 27. In that day, the Lord with His sore and great and strong sword. Well, how many know the sword is the Word of God? But it's within a people, isn't it? Amen? Shall punish Leviathan the piercing serpent, even Leviathan that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that's in man, or in humanity, or in the sea. How many want him to get killed in you? Amen. Somebody stick a good sword in him for me, will you? Amen. In my life. Verse 2. In that day sing you the hur, a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, and so forth. Now look in verse 6. Here's the people that's going to have the sword. He shall cause them that come of Jacob, and that's natural Israel there, to take what? Root. To take root. I want you to notice that. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Now that's the church. 30-fold is the bud realm. How many know you become a bud when you accepted Jesus? The life of God come into you. But from a bud to a blossom, there was an explosion. Dunamis, dynamite power came into you, amen, and caused you to be a flower or a blossom. But that's not enough. God wants fruit, doesn't He? Amen. So the bud speaks of 30-fold, the blossom is 60, but the fruit will be 100-fold. Amen? And notice what it says. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Now, and by the way, over in verse 13 it talks about the great trumpet. That's the last trumpet also sounding. So we won't go into that. Turn over with me to some other scriptures now. Turn with me to, well, let's go to Micah first. Turn to Micah. Praise the Lamb of God. How many know there's 7 barren women in Scripture? Do you know that? I'll tell you who they are. Sarah. Of course, they all had children. Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah, Samson's mother, Elizabeth, and the church. Now, Micah, chapter 3. Excuse me, chapter 5. Micah 5, 3. Therefore, will he, the he there speaks of God, will he, God, give them up? Natural Israel. How many know God's given up for a period of time? But there's a remnant going to come in, isn't there? But God has given them up until, time word, until the time that she, the church, which what? Travaileth, has brought forth. And who is she going to bring forth? She's going to bring forth another son. It's not going to be a little baby. Thank God for that baby that was born. But it's going to be a many-membered son, isn't it? Worldwide. Notice that she which travaileth has brought forth, then the remnant, here's natural Israel, of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, to the church. Hallelujah. But she, brethren, the woman, is bringing forth. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now turn to Luke. The book of Luke. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 1. Luke's Gospel. Chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Luke 1. Look in verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women. Now she's speaking to Mary. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Okay, the fruit of the womb was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? How many know that Mary was first to carry the gospel? Amen? Now, Mary believed those words, didn't she? That the angel brought, as well as what Elizabeth said. Mary believed those words. The angel told her words, didn't he? Now she's going to have a child. Elizabeth now confirms that word, and God performed the word. Amen? How many know he can do it? And he did it. And the fruit here was Jesus, the Son of God. Now turn to Romans 7. Praise the Lord Jesus. I'll tell you why there's an upheaval in the earth tonight. I tell you why creation's groaning tonight. It's because God is raising up a son. And the devil doesn't like it. But there's not anything he can do about it. Amen? Amen. I don't mean he won't try to stop us, hinder us. But God is going to raise that son. Romans 7, 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we, that you and I, brethren, should bring forth fruit unto God. You hear that? We should bring forth fruit unto who? God. Now turn to Revelation 12. And God is going to come forth, isn't he? Let's just read the first 5 verses here. Amen? Revelation 12. Then we'll go back to Isaiah in a minute. Revelation 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great sign or miracle or wonder where? In heaven. A woman clothed with the sun. Now notice this is a heavenly scene. And this is why I do not believe it's natural Israel. This woman is the church. Because the church is in the heavenlies. Isn't that right? And you'll notice it says, and the moon under her feet. Now, she's clothed with the sun. That's the glory of God covering the woman. The moon under her feet speaks of her dominion and her authority. That's under her feet. And what else? And upon her head is a crown. She's a queen. Amen? Of 12 stars. 12 is the number of divine government. How And we know that the church will be in divine order when Jesus comes. Under His government, under His order, amen. Verse 2, and she, the woman, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain, birth pangs, to be delivered. You women know what that is in the natural, don't you? Well, this woman, this is in the soul of the church that she's bringing forth this son. Amen. Hallelujah. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, behold, a red dragon, so forth. Verse 5. She brought forth a man-child who was to shepherd, the word rule means shepherd, all nations with what? Rod of iron, and her child was called up to God and to His throne. God is a spirit, isn't it? Caught up in the spirit, or caught up to God in the throne, or in the place of authority, amen? And notice she rules the nation with a rod of iron. Chapter 2. Let's go back there just a second. 2:26 of Revelation. We'll see who it is. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him, the overcomer, will I give what? Power, authority over what? The nations. And he shall shepherd them, same as in chapter 12, verse 5, with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him, the overcomer, the morning star. And Jesus said, I am the morning star. And Peter said, the day star or the morning star must arise within our heart. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Amen? Praise God. Let's go back to Isaiah 4, and I'll close because I don't know how long I was to share tonight, but let's go back to Isaiah 4. Praise God. But I just thank God that I'm here tonight. I tell you, I'd rather be here than any place else. I know about that. Isaiah 4. Now we said here in verse 2 that the branch of the Lord is beautiful and glorious. You can look in Isaiah 60, 21, and 22 on that sometime if you want to, about the branch there. And also we see the fruit that she's bringing forth. It's going to be excellent. It's going to become. It's going to be beautiful to those that escaped of Israel. Praise the Lord. Now, verse 3. It shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion. Okay, outer court is Israel. Holy place, Jerusalem. Holy of holies is Zion. Okay? He that is left in Zion and he that remains in Jerusalem. Okay? Shall be called what? How many want to be living when Jesus comes?
Amen.
You want to remain and be alive?
Amen.
Be holy.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, know that means our lives must be cleaned up and purged and cleansed. But those that will be living when Jesus comes will be holy. Paul prayed their whole spirit, soul, and body be sanctified or made holy, amen, unto the parousia or the coming of the Lord. And no man can see the Lord without holiness, can he? Amen? No man can see him in that lordship realm, that dimension of the Holy of Holies, without holiness. And sanctification and clean living. Amen? So he said here that this one is called holy, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away, he's going to clean her up, the filth of the daughters of Zion. He's going to clean the Zion people up, isn't he? I could get on that. And shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. I mean, know that judgment starts with the church first. And the spirit of burning coming into us with purging and cleansing and so forth. And the Lord will do something then. Create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies. Now, this is the local churches. I mean, believe we need to be placed in a local place by God. Well, the Spirit puts us, not just the church of your choice. I mean, no, that's no longer. You can't choose the church you go to. You have to let God choose it for you. Amen? Because you and I might choose the wrong place. Some of us have been in wrong places. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, upon her assemblies, a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. Praise the Lord. That's the covering, that's the glory over the local assemblies of Zion. Amen? How many know that you're going to escape something if you're there? Praise the
protection.
Amen? And we know that God put that over Israel in the Old Testament. Amen. And then it says, notice, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. That word defense means a canopy, a covering. Where is the canopy and the covering? Well, it's under His covering, under His Spirit, but it's in the local church where God puts you to. Amen, because His presence is over those local sins. Isn't that right? Amen. He is your covering. And there should be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert. That means also a covering from the storm and from the rain. Brothers and sisters, there's coming a storm. There's coming some rain and thunder and lightning. We better be in the place.
Yeah.
God has told us to be. How many wants to bring forth that fruit?
Yeah.
Well, how many know it's going to take some travail and intercession?
Yeah.
It's going to take seeking God, brothers. How many know that we need to pray more than just for ourselves and our family? That's part of it. But we need to pray, God, raise up the man-child, raise up the sons, raise up the overcomers. Bring your kingdom forth in us, Lord,
yeah,
at this time. Raise up that mighty army that Brother Pittman may be sharing about, that God talked to him about. Praise the Lord. I thank God tonight. I'm living in 85, even with all the pressures we have. Amen? Thank God. He's in us and He's with us. Praise the Lord.
We turn the rest of the evening now to Brother Pittman.
We're going to be talking to you the times that I'll be able to minister to you, the remainder of the camp. We're going to be talking about spiritual warfare. And it's going to be, I'm going to share with you my eyewitness account into the spirit world. On August the 3rd, 1979, while in an ambulance 19 miles from the regional medical center, all my vital life signs failed. Paramedic in attendance judged me dead. Up until that time in my life, I had never experienced any kind of supernatural activity. I'd never heard a supernatural audible voice. I'd never seen any kind of supernatural manifestation. Not even a vision, theologically speaking. I did not believe that a human being could experience while in the physical body what God was going to do in my life that day. Now, certainly it was not because of me that God worked this great miracle, but it was in spite of me. You see, I am convinced that God searched this world over, failing to find a sorrier human being on earth. He used me. So it was not because of me, but in spite of me, that God worked the great miracle. Now, from time to time, during the course of this seminar, I will be talking about my experience. I'm not going to give my testimony tonight. We're going to talk on another part of spiritual warfare, but later on, I will give my testimony in detail. But I want to warn you now that the things that I'm going to talk about may sound very bizarre. So bizarre that many of you may find it difficult to believe those things. So we lay down just two ground rules. Rule number one, it is important to me that you know my purpose in being here. August 3rd, 1979, God gave me a commission to go tell. That is my purpose. I'm here as a teller. The Holy Spirit has the hard job. He's the convincer. If He wants you to know it's real, then He's going to have to convince you. And if He fails to convince you, I waste my breath though I talk 100 years. So I simply come to tell you. Now the only other ground rule we're going to lay down, and it is extremely an important one, it's important to me, it's important to you, but where you know it, you may not know just how important it is, but it's very important to me that you know what I believe about this book, the Holy Bible, which I hold in my hand. I don't know what it is to you, but to me, it's not just a book that contains the truth. It is the truth. And to me, it's not just a book that contains the Word of God. It is the written Word of God. Now, this book tells me if I observe an angel or a man preaching any other gospel, let him be accursed.
I believe that literally, and I say it that I may sing it. I ask you to hear those bizarre things we're going to talk about during the course of this seminar, but I ask you to check them in the light of God's Word. Now, if God's Word fails to support a single thing, no matter how bizarre it is, I say to you, then you don't believe anything I say. Throw it all out. But if the Word will support it, I ask that you seriously consider it. And if any of it needs to be applied to your life, I ask that you do it. Because I believe that this is the day, and this is the way, that God's gone to all the trouble to prepare for you a special message for this, the last day in which we live. And He's dispatched it from the other side of the grave. Now, if that be true, and you should miss it, what a shame that would be. On the other hand, if the devil would send amongst you a wolf in sheep's clothing with a false message, and you bought that, what a shame that would be. See, what I'm saying to you, you're responsible for every word you hear. Those you buy as well as the ones you reject. So, you better know the Spirit that speaks to you. Now, there's only one lamp in this day which will separate the great counterfeit angel of light from the real angel of light. God's Word. Know God's Word. Know God's Word, and ye shall know the Spirit that speaks to you. This Bible tells me that this last day attack is so cleverly designed that even the elect in danger. This Bible tells me that this last day attack is so cleverly designed that even the elect in danger. So if he's going to be this clever, he's certainly not going to start talking to you with a lie. He will start with the truth. So look for the little things that are not true to expose the whole lie. He is very clever in this day. On that day, while in an ambulance, 19 miles from the regional medical center, as a result of a massive internal hemorrhage, where one of the main arteries that run through the body cavity, it blew out. All my life's blood was spilling out internally. They had taken me to a local hospital where they worked desperately to clean out the body cavity where they could find the blowout. After they had brought me out of shock for the third time, they announced that they were transferring me to the regional medical center 45 miles away. They prepared a special ambulance, signed a paramedic to go with me, had me hooked up to all the monitoring devices, allowed my wife to ride with me in that ambulance. I'd been born and raised in a basic fundamentalist Christian home where I'd been taught the Bible all my life. I attended a denominational college in preparation for the ministry, even attended a seminary. Had done a research paper on almost every character of this Bible. But up until that day in my life, I really did not know what I believed about the devil. You see, the church that I grew up in, we never talked about the devil. My preacher never talked about the devil. The college that I went to, my teachers never talked about the devil. And the seminary I went to, my professors never talked about the devil. When someone brought up the subject of the devil, my professors would remind them, hey, wait a minute. He's a defeated foe. So, to talk about him would just bring him glory. So we just let him alone. Leave him lie. Well, that sounded good to me. After all, while in the seminary, that would be one less character I'd have to do research on. See? But because I left him alone, I didn't know what I believed about him. I was well aware of all the scriptures in this Bible that related to him, but and I had sense enough to know that this Bible was truly inspired, that there was no error in this book. Well, I wouldn't deny those scriptures, but I wouldn't deal with them. I just passed them over. Because I had no training in those areas, so I didn't know what I really believed about the devil. Sometimes I thought of him as like a frog or a evil force or a wind or something like that, but most of the time, when anybody mentioned the devil, most of the time, the mental image that popped into my mind was the image of a cartoon character. Got two horns, got a goatee, wears a red suit, got a long pointed tail, runs around with a little pitchfork in his hand, stroking the fires of hell, saying cute little sayings that people copy and put up on the refrigerator door. Our adversary, you know what the purpose of a cartoon character is? It's twofold. Fictional and funny. Now, our adversary is neither. See, if you left this building here tonight, you should meet that little cartoon character running around out there in front of the door with his little pitchfork saying cute little sayings, you would be justified in laughing at him. But if you should leave this building tonight standing there staring at you eyeball to eyeball is a roaring lion, you wouldn't laugh at him. He wouldn't be at all funny. Not only would he not be funny, but you wouldn't stand there. Not only would you not stand there, you'd jump back behind that door and barricade it, and you wouldn't leave this building till that roaring lion was gone. Nobody ever told me I was going to have to deal with that roaring lion every day of my life. People say, "Preacher, you crazy. Don't you know I'm born again, covered on the blood, no devil can touch me?" Well, let me tell you something. Isn't it true that all Christians that I know of who are Christians will admit that this Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from God? Every good and perfect gift comes from God. Well, since you've been saved, covered on the blood, born again, have you ever got sick? Have you ever shed tears of pain? Have you ever witnessed strife and tribulation come into your home and almost tear it apart? In some cases, tear it apart. Have you ever stood by the bedside of a Christian relative that was born again, covered under the blood, and watched them die in pain and agony? Tell me now, is any of this good and perfect gift? Didn't come from God, then did it? And if the devil can't touch you, then who did it? You have an enemy. Don't give him any more advantage than he already has. This Bible says, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." Because the church historically has sent the sheep out the door to be devoured by the roaring lion. This nation or any other nation worth a grain of salt, when they conscript their people into the service to fight a war, before they send them to the battlefield, they train them. In time of war, all training is based on two principal truths. To teach all that we know about our enemy, and to teach the soldier all we know about the weapon. When he leaves the training ground, he knows everything the instructors know about the enemy and everything the manufacturer knows about the weapon. All the other training supports those two things. The exact two things that the church has failed to teach the people. The exact two things. Now, if you don't think the deliverance ministry is a very important part of the ministry of the church, then you take the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and divide on a piece of paper time that Jesus spent actively engaged in ministries of all kinds while he was on earth. Write down under each heading, and when you're through, you will discover that he spent one-third of his time, one-third actively engaged in the deliverance ministry. Now, when they talk about preaching a real, well-rounded gospel, if they leave out the lyrics, it's a lie. It's not well-rounded, you see. Because it's in your Bible. In fact, the first authority that Jesus Christ ever delegated to a human being was not the authority to teach or preach. It was the authority to deal with evil spirits. And it's recorded in your Bible, Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, that man could neither preach nor teach until he had the authority to first deal with evil spirits. This authority was granted to 12 men, later extended to 70, and in the Great Commission was finally extended to all believers, where it rests today. We want to talk a little bit about spiritual warfare. Later on during the seminar, we will go and give you my testimony in detail. But I want you to know that Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that we wrestle an enemy that is not flesh and blood. Now, everybody is well aware of that statement in the Bible. Most Christians read that verse once a week or once a month, whatever, but they're well aware that it's in there. But most people don't realize that we have a great deal of trouble in translating languages. I just came back from Europe, and I had six different translators over there, and still, sometimes we would find an English word. I don't know any other language, and very little English, but sometimes I would find some words that they could not translate into their language. They could not translate it because they had no equivalent. So I had to back up and find something else that I could even convey my meaning to the translator with. What I'm trying to tell you is that word Paul spoke in Ephesians 6:12 when he said we did not mean we people nor we humans. What he meant in the original Greek literally was we of like persuasion. We of the same belief. We followers of Jesus Christ. Sitting apart Christians from the rest of the world. Clearly Paul said that Christians are called to war. The lost do not fight. They are not engaged in spiritual warfare. Why? They are prisoners of war. Prisoners of war do not fight. Where did Jesus say this? That the lost were prisoners and had to be set free. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The third anointing. What did it say there? That he come to bring deliverance to the captives. If a person walks in that door and you take him, lock him against his will in that back room, he becomes a prisoner, a captive. But that was not the word in Greek that was used there. If the police catch someone rifling a car out there, they lock him up, take him down to the jail and lock him up, he becomes a captive or a prisoner. That was not the word that was used there. If two nations go to war intent on totally destroying one another, and they engaged in a field of battle and one of the soldiers are taken prisoner against his will for the purpose of destroying him, that's the word that was used there, you see. Totally a prisoner of war, the law. Do you know, he said, that the Spirit of the Lord was upon me, anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor? How come the rich don't need the gospel? Only the poor needs the gospel? That's what he said, Luke 4:18. Isn't that what he said? That he had been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. You mean the rich don't need it? Well, again, we go back to our language difficulties. We discover that that word translated by the King James translators into the word poor in its original Greek didn't have anything to do with wealth or material gain or the lack of material gain at all. It did not refer to that at all. See, to Jesus, material gain or the lack of material gain wasn't wealth at all. He never considered that as wealth. You know, he never even had a pocket for his robe. when he went to pay his taxes, he just called a fish up out of the sea and reached in his mouth and pulled out a coin, went and paid his tax. He let the fish carry the purse for him, you see. He didn't even have a pocket in his robe. He didn't even have a pillar to put his head on. And if he had a pillar, he didn't have room to put it in. So he didn't have anything, and he wasn't poor, was he? He was the richest of all. And so he didn't consider material wealth. That wasn't what he was talking about. What he was talking about was, you know, if one walks along and trips and falls, that's one that has fallen. Well, that word poor really in the Greek really meant one that has fallen, but not like one that had tripped and fallen. It was like one that you're walking along and your enemy slip up behind you and push you down real quick and then crush you with a great blow. That's the word that was used there. That's who he considered to be the poor. Those that had been deliberately pushed down and then crushed with a great blow. You see? To heal the brokenhearted. Broken, you take a loaf of French bread and you break it one time. That's breaking it, isn't it? Well, that's not the word he used there in Greek at all. The word that he would use there was like you take that same loaf of bread and take a knife. And in your anger, repeatedly slash it over and over. That's the word that he used. Hearted means total in itself, and of course, captives, prisoner of war, literally prisoner of war. So we see what a wretched, miserable bunch of people that Jesus came to minister to. Who were they? Every human being born since Adam and Eve. We all have fallen. We all have repeatedly been attacked by this enemy. We all at one time were taken captive and held prisoner until we were liberated by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now at that moment, he set us free. Free indeed from the God of this world that cut the ties of the devil over us, you see. Now what did he do when we were born again? He purchased us with his blood and he took our citizenship out of the planet earth and he put it in the invisible kingdom called the kingdom of God. Now, we're no longer citizens of this world. We're in it, but not of it. And that makes us, of all people, most peculiar. We're residing in a land we don't hold citizenship in, therefore we're pilgrims. We're pilgrims in this land. Now, he set us free from the god of this world, the devil. And then he gave into our hands that total freedom. Now, that means when he took us out of that jail cell that the enemy had us in and set us free, he didn't lock us up in his. See, the devil had us locked up. He set us free. And he put that freedom in our hands, meaning that we can choose to go back into captivity. And that's what we do daily. We hurt, we get sick, we succumb to strife and tribulation. All of these things, we give back to him the freedom that Christ purchased for us with his blood. That's what spiritual warfare is all about, learning to resist the devil. Now you've heard it said all your life, resist the devil and he will flee. The Bible don't say that though. It sure don't. But most people say it does. But the Bible don't say that. What does the Bible say? Submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee. You see? That's only half the verse. They drop off the top half. You look and see, that's only half a verse. Resist the devil, and he will flee. No such thing. The devil won't flee until you submit yourself unto God. You see? And then he will flee. And only then. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25 and verse 26 clearly shows the devil can take any human being at will that does not possess the knowledge of God's Word. God's Word. The sword of the Spirit. I want to read a little scripture part of the things we're just laying the foundation for what we're going to cover in this seminar. I want to read a little scripture from Isaiah first today, and I want you to listen to what I'm going to use to, I told you before now, I'm going to share my, over the course of this seminar, I'm going to share my eyewitness account with you, but I want you to note very carefully any claims I make, for all the claims I make, I will base upon the Word of God. not upon my eyewitness account. I'm going to be sharing my eyewitness account. But the claims, all of them, I will base upon the Word of God. Now, I'm going to make one of those outlandish claims right now. That preachers, many people say, man, that's one of the most foolish claims ever heard. Not long ago, I was riding down the road, as I spend many hours riding down the road, going from place to place. We do about 100,000 miles a year, road miles, so that means we drive a great deal. But I'm always listening to the radio or Christian radio or to tapes or gospel music. We even have the Bible on tape. And where I can listen as I drive. And I was listening to a preacher preach, and he got up there and he said, you know, I am tired of all these preachers going around here giving the devil credit for all the meanness that we got going on amongst us and all the evil. So we don't need the devil and we don't need demons to make us sin. We don't need the devil to be responsible for all the wickedness and evil in this world. We're just basically and inherently an evil people, and we'll sin without the devil. So we don't have to give the devil the glory and credit for all that. Well, my claim is, I honestly believe that preacher's wrong. I'm going to make a charge to you now. I'm going to give you the scripture. I'm going to hope that I can prove what I have to say. First, I'm going to say to you, saint or sinner, saved or lost, you have never shed a tear of hurt or pain in your life. You've never had a sickness. You've never had tribulation and strife in your life. That did not come to you except by the direct result of the devil and his demons. Now, what scripture will I use to prove that? I will use four scriptures, and there's over 35 more that I could. The four that I will use will be Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6 and 9, Isaiah 65, verse 25, Hosea chapter 2, verse 18. Now, I'll just read one of those places now, but I gave you the scripture. I'm going to read Isaiah 11, verse 6 and 9, 6 through 9. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now this is part of the prophecy relating to the reign of Jesus Christ and his saints here upon this earth. The 1,000-year reign. I believe when you put all this prophecy together that it basically says this, that a little child shall lead the beast of the wild, that a lamb will lay down with a lion, that death will disappear, that nation will study war no more, that they will change their war material into agricultural material. I believe that the hospitals will close, that there will be no doctor's office, that there will be no locks, that there will be no jails, that there will be no police force, there will be no armies, there will be no need for them. For 1,000 years, not a single human being will lift his hand in anger against his neighbor. For 1,000 years, no human being will lose his temper against his neighbor. The Bible says it's going to happen, that a little child will lead the beast of the wild. Never happened before. So it's got to be in the future. It says it will happen. What is this book? Is it the unadulterated Word of God? Or is it the biggest conglomeration of lies ever put together? Or is it a book that contains part truth and part fiction? I think we can rule out it being part truth and part fiction because it's either got to be all truth or all fiction. You see? If it's all truth, the Lord said he would not lay down with or sit down and eat with the devil. So we wouldn't be part truth and part fiction. So we've got to decide, what is it? Is it the real truth, the unadulterated truth, or just part of the truth? I mean, or is it a conglomeration of lies? What is it? Well, it's a book of books. 60-something books put together by 30-something authors over a period of 1,500 years. And it's been proven to be historically and scientifically correct. Mathematically impossible, but it has proven to be historically, scientifically, and historically correct. What do you mean? Let's take, for instance, any city that ever named in this Bible has been found. But one of the last was Nineveh. Before they found Nineveh, the people that was trying to dispute the Bible said, "Now, we got you. We can find no trace, no records, no indication there ever was such a city as Nineveh." The Bible said Nineveh was a great city of 3 days' journey, didn't it? That's what it said. That's how it describes Nineveh. A city of 3 days' journey. Well, a day's journey in that day was about 10 miles, wasn't it? Okay? A few years ago, they discovered the eastern wall of Nineveh. And they found the artifacts and everything to prove where it was. It was Nineveh. And then they kept on till they found the western wall. And when they found the western wall, what was it? Just 30 miles from the eastern wall. A city of 3 days' journey. Just like the Bible said. 10 hours a day or 3 days to cross Nineveh. A great city. Now, how long has it been since our educators have been teaching the world was round? Just, I believe, about 345 years. In all of our recorded history, up until 345 years ago, our educators said the earth was flat, and if you kept going far enough, you'd fail off the edge of it, you see? Well, 345 years ago, they finally discovered the world was round. But did you know several thousand years ago Isaiah said that? And it's in the book of Isaiah? Historically and scientifically, this Bible has been proved to be correct. So I must accept it as the unadulterated Word of God. Now then, if it is the unadulterated Word of God, there's coming a thousand-year reign when this will happen on earth. That spirit will coexist the same time flesh will. But the time that the spirit will be ruling and reigning over the flesh. The flesh will continue to go on living daily just like flesh lives today. They will be marrying and giving in marriage and births. But death will disappear, and sickness will disappear, and war will disappear, and hate will disappear, and all these other things disappear. How come there's coming a time in the future we can live with our neighbor without locks, without hospitals, without jails, without police forces, without armies, and we can't live with him now? How come we can't do it now? Well, you say, that's because in the future when we do it, Jesus Christ will be here with us. And that's true. He will be here with us. But dearly beloved, if you are Christian, he's in you now. You see? And he can't get no closer than that, can he? The difference is, just one between then and now, they lock up the devil and his demons. And the minute they lock them up, all of that disappears. Now to prove that that's what it is, at the end of the 1,000 years, they turn him out. Instantly, rebellion breaks out. Death comes back. War reappears. Hatred. All of the other things that had disappeared for that 1,000 years instantly reappear the moment they turn the devil loose. If he was locked up tonight, you wouldn't be sick. You wouldn't hurt. You wouldn't have any strife or tribulation. You wouldn't even need to be here. So, that's why we've got to learn about our enemy. Our enemy is real, and his target, of course, as Paul clearly said, we, of like persuasion or like belief, wrestle an enemy that is not flesh and blood. Isn't it strange that that word wrestle in every language on earth means basically the same thing? Contact, contest. What he's really saying is that we have an enemy that we touch. That somewhere during the day, We are touched by this enemy. He said, we're in a contact. If you don't get touched, it's not contact. And that's what Raphael means. Contact. People say, oh man, you know a demon can't touch a Christian. Christian can't have a demon, you know that. Was Paul a Christian? Didn't he confess with his own mouth that every day there was a demon touching his flesh? Then if Paul wasn't a Christian, he'd never been a Christian. He'd never been one. And when someone tells you a demon can't touch a Christian, that's what was happening in Paul's life. If you had all the books that they've been authored to try to explain away that verse of Scripture, this room wouldn't hold them. And they still can't explain it away. In the literal, in the original Greek language, he literally said that his flesh was buffeted daily by a demon spirit. That's what he literally said. Buffet in every language on earth means to rub against the grain. You try rubbing flesh against the grain. It inflicts pain. Paul said this himself in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're also going to show you during the course of this seminar that your enemy, the devil, is not the god of hell. That he shudders when he thinks about hell, and that he's never been in hell. He's never been there. He don't hold the key to hell, and he shudders about hell. The key to hell is in Jesus' hand. He holds the key. He's the God of hell. He will say who occupies hell. The devil has no say-so on who's going to roast right next to him throughout all eternity. That's in Jesus' name. See, that's some more of the cartoon myth that Satan has put out to disarm the people. He wants them to view him as a cartoon character because he is a defeated foe. And as a defeated foe, he needs great anonymity in which to work. And we give him that. Preachers are guilty of daring not talk about the devil. I had a preacher come tell me once, I want you to come and tell my congregation that. I wish I could tell them, but I'm afraid they'll run me off. You know, this is, it would be funny if it wasn't so widespread and so true. Because that's exactly the way I grew up. I'm sure, you see, I've suffered so many times at the hands of that enemy because I was never taught about him. Now, my preacher is guilty of that. See? He's dead and gone on. Bless his soul, I know he did all the best he was trained to do, but you see, that comes from not examining that old-time religion, you see. We just inherit that old-time religion, and we think it's good enough for Grandpa and Grandma, it ought to be good enough for us. But you know, it's not always good enough. You see, the Pharisee was a man that was convinced that the old-time religion was all he needed. He inherited that from his father. Now, he wouldn't change it for anything Jesus had to offer. Why? Because he was convinced that that religion that he was worshiping that day was the same religion that Moses delivered to the Hebrew people in the wilderness. What was it? Let me show you what it was. When Moses delivered the law to the Hebrew nation, there was one of the Ten Commandments that says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now that's a short, direct commandment, isn't it? So easy to follow. But you know, when Jesus came and stood before the Pharisees, you know what they had when they held up that commandment? They had 39 written pages of instruction on how to keep that commandment. 39 pages. Written back. It's so when Moses delivered it, it simply said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. When Jesus arrived, that same commandment now has 39 written pages on how to keep it. What has happened? Each generation, starting with the first one, will add a little. Each generation, moving the original, each generation, a little further away. By the time Jesus came, it in no way resembles what it did when it was given in the wilderness. No way at all. Now, that could very well be the trouble with your old-time religion, you see. If you inherited the old-time religion, it might be 1,000 miles away from what the original was. Just like the Pharisee, you see. He was convinced it was the same religion that his forefathers got from the hand of Moses, and that's why he stood on it. He would not accept any truth that Jesus taught, because it was in conflict with his old-time religion. And Jesus said, no wonder he said, by the traditions of your fathers you've made my laws of none effect, you see? And this is what we've done often with our old-time religion. It's been moved each generation away from the original till it's not even kin anymore. You know, it's amazing as I read some of the history of religion, and I discover that the old, good old shouting Methodist at one time was doing the same thing that Pentecostal are doing today, you see? And most of the Methodists don't even know anything about that, but in the original part of their religion, they were the shouters, and they were the praises and the dancers, you see? And now it's the Pentecostals doing it. And the people come up and say, oh, I'm a Methodist because my grandpa and my great-grandma, my great, all the way back down the line, and don't realize what their great-great-great-grandpa had one time down there. So that's why we need to examine our old-time religion in depth to see if it's anything like it was when it started out. You know, often it's not good enough. But we want to try to cover all these different things during the course of this seminar. I want to remind you that our textbook will be the Bible. The Bible. There will be a lot of good books back there on that table that will help you in developing as a good soldier. The Bible will be your textbook. A lot of those books written by many of the good authors that were anointed by God to work in this field can help you in many areas of learning to recognize your enemy and his wiles. So tonight we just wanted to lay down for you the basis of what we're really going to do. We're going to talk about what I saw in the spirit world when they allowed me to look upon the ruling council of Satan, when they allowed me to look upon the shapes and forms of the demon spirits, when they brought me into the world and allowed me to watch isolated incidents of spiritual warfare, and then when they took me back into the spirit realm and let me look upon the saints as they were being escorted into heaven, and finally stand outside of the gates of heaven and have an audience with God, where He brought before me my life, and I was so thrilled to be there, because I thought I was a pretty good fella. I'd been in his service for 30 years and was sure that if anybody was pleasing, any life was pleasing unto God, mine surely was. But when the audience was over, God said to me that my life He considered an abomination that He had rejected in the Pharisees. And it will be very important to you to know why God called my life an abomination. We want to make that very clear in the session where I'm able to share my testimony with you. So this is the foundation for what we're going to do. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.